Now, continuing in our pursuit to deny ignorance, the following is a special edition of the ATS Mix. Now, here's Dave Rabbit.
Well, everybody, I can't tell you how excited I am about this show. I was first made aware of Dorothy Izat a few months ago by the director of the DVD movie that has come out that has really captured the imagination of people worldwide, and it's entitled Capturing the Light, which is a movie that Frank Longo actually created and created a friendship with Dorothy Izat, who is from the Canadian up north area. The thing that I found most amazing about it when Frank and I first contacted each other was his offering to let me see the DVD. I'm not a skeptic. I'm a believer. I always have been. I've seen flying saucers when I was at a younger age. I'm kind of like the Mulder is on X-Files, you know. I want to believe. I do believe in my heart about extraterrestrials and UFOs. But here again, you know, I get approached by all kinds of things. Frank was kind enough to send me the DVD, and honest to God truth, I have to tell you, I watched it 3 times in a row. I was so blown away by Dorothy Izat. And the reason is that this is not a lady that seeks attention. This is not a lady that stands up banging the drum and saying, hey, come dig me. This is a lady that has experienced something mystical and magical, has documented it with over 30,000 feet of film, has had the film analyzed by all kinds of experts in the field of special effects. Every person in the world has looked at this thing, and she has just captured the imagination, especially of this humble person, Dave Rabbit, of just being the real deal. And it's with great affection that I introduce you to Dorothy Izat. Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. And how are you?
Well, thanks, sweetheart. You know, I can't thank you enough. I know this is not your cup of tea, talking to people. But I really appreciate not only the time and just allowing me to invade your privacy for a little bit. So before we bring Frank on board, and Frank is on board, but we're going to put him to the back of the bus, if you will, because the first thing I want to know is, and we're going to be asking you a few questions that I'm sure you've been asked 100 times before, and I hope it's not boring for you. I can't imagine it being boring, but I'd like to start out by simply asking, when did your husband and your husband's name was Duncan, when did you guys meet?
Oh, I met him when he was even younger, because he was my brother's best friend.
He was your brother's best friend?
Yeah. And wow. Our families just run in and out, and that's how I met him.
Well, he was an absolute, he was a handsome man, a very handsome man.
Yes, I didn't pay any attention to him in the beginning, of course, because he is one of the gang, you know, with the boys and everything. Time went on.
And so your eyes met and fell in love, obviously, and had a long life together.
Yes.
And a beautiful family. And I can't tell you, your family just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. What a remarkable family you have, and they've been extremely supportive of you all these years.
Thank you.
All right, let's start the questioning. What was the first time that you knew that you had some kind of contact with extraterrestrials?
Well, I'll go back and say when I was little, very, very little.
Do you remember how old you were?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think for me to remember things would be about from 5, 6 years old starting. Mm-hmm.
And that was about the time that I saw them. So tell me about your experience or what you remember about that time.
Well, the things that's going to happen, you know, before it happens, you know, and I always speak to someone, and my parents, my mother and father know it's very, very easy, like, going, because they all see ghosts themselves. And they don't
right.
see ghosts or spirits or whatever it is. And my grandmother, all of us, you know, it was so, it's nothing. We're just like, you know, visiting a friend, and that's it. And if people drop in, if these beings drop in, I mean, they just sit down and see what they want, and then that's it. Yeah.
Well, did you live in Canada at the time that this was taking place?
This one? No. Actually, I was born in Hong Kong. And from there, during the war, we came to Canada. See the ghosts. I mean, I wouldn't call them ghosts. I mean, when I see them, it's almost like seeing another person.
All right. So you physically started documenting everything that you believe that you wanted to capture, just so you'd had some kind of substantiation, if you will. Did you not start doing this like in somewhere around 1974, I believe?
Yes, that's right, when I started writing things down, because my sister always saying, why don't people write this down, Dot? She said, maybe one day your children like to know about it. So I said, oh, okay, that's how I did.
So in other words, you had family members or whatever, or friends, and they said, if you're seeing this stuff, why don't you write it down, basically? So, mm-hmm. So.
My sisters, and they're very bossy. Older and the oldest.
Well, I'm an only child, so I never did have that problem. When you started filming, I mean, you start seeing these things from your home out in Canada. I mean, of course, Canada is so gorgeous and beautiful, and the skies are so clear and whatever. I mean, when you first saw what you saw, did you just kind of blow it off? Or because you had your experiences when you were very young, did you really at that time believe that it was something more than just a light in the sky?
No, because I'm so used to it. Because our whole family can see things. My dad can, my mom can, all of us can. So it was nothing to us. As long as, we're not afraid of it, because if you keep yourself, on a higher level, nothing can harm you.
Well, you're a very spiritual person. I believe you were born or started out in the Catholic religion, as did I. Mm-hmm. Did there ever come a time that you didn't really know whether it interfered with your religious beliefs?
Depends. When we were young, I had to go to a convent and for a while, for a couple of years, and then out of there. And they used to say, oh, it's the devil. Everything is the devil, And
right.
One day I stood there and stamped my foot, and I said, everything is not the devil, to the nuns, and she told me to stand in the corner.
Yeah, I had that when I was starting out in Catholic, that the devil scenario was very much dumped on me, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's so many questions that you could be asked, but I want to ask you a couple off of the BuffTopSecret.com website and some of the members that are very much just huge fans of yours. There's a member by the name of Sin Critter, C-Y-N-C-R-I-T-T-E-R. And his question, Dorothea, says, Dorothy, did you ask permission to film these beings, or did you simply set your camera up and turn them on and they just appeared? And then he says, did they know you were recording? Now, obviously, he had not seen the DVD, but he wanted to know if you had permission to film the beings. I guess with the writer's strike and everything, they want to be sure their agents are represented.
Yeah. Well, I do. I do ask the permission, because when they show themselves, I thought it'd be very rude of me to just pick up my camera and aim at them. I'll just say, greet them, and they greet me. And I said, point to my camera. I said, will this be all right? And then they'll flash the light and tell me yes, and then I'll film. But if they don't, then I won't film.
So they communicate basically with you through light rather than through sound or something other like that?
It's always with light, yes.
Okay. We have a member by the name of Palaszczuk who had just recently ordered the DVD. He has, or she, you never can tell with these members whether they're male or female. It says, are light beings presented as males, or are they also female light beings?
This has surprised a lot of people. They travel around in their ships, and the whole family's with them. There's little ones, big ones, mother, father, all in the craft. And I've seen them. In fact, I have pictures of them in my movies. and trying to just sort of stay a while, and then you communicate with your mind, and off they go.
Okay, another member by the name of Lord 13, don't ask me where these people get these names, Dorothy, I have no clue, says, Dorothy, would you be willing to attempt a gift exchange with these beings?
Well, I don't know what she means.
It says, maybe gather some earthly things, put them in a box, leave them on your backyard or a blanket or rug, and when you communicate with them, that they would take items that you have given them, and they would, you know, give you items in return, I guess is what they're asking.
No, I don't do that. You know, I don't take things from them or give them anything. The beings come, they just come to say hello and let you know they're there. And then you just sort of communicate a bit, depends on what I'm talking to them about.
David?
Yes. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi. If I could just interject for a moment. I would say that...
Please feel free to jump in.
On that particular question, that I would say that Dorothy's films are the gift, and the body of work that she's gotten over the years are a gift, not just to Dorothy, but actually to everyone.
Well, while I've got you... Well, since you've jumped in here, Frank, I'm going to now... That same member, Palaszczuk, had a question for you, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you... And this really is to both of you. And obviously, this person has not seen the DVD yet, so they're not aware, and I don't necessarily want to spoil that necessarily. The question is, and this is from Palaszczuk, Frank, did you and your crew experience any unusual things when making this documentary? And I'll leave it up to you if you want to talk about what you and I know and Dorothy knows.
Just the short answer of it is yes. I mean, I kind of hate to jump to that spot without really kind of, you know, going over what led up to it, but in short, yes, and it's in the documentary, and well, I'll just kind of go over it, what happened. Dorothy's daughter, Marilyn, I was interviewing her, and this interview was regards to the first time that she had an experience, because she hadn't, after all the years that Dorothy had been going through this, hadn't seen one for herself. So she was recounting the one time that she did have a sighting, and we were doing the interview by the kitchen where she was telling us it had happened. And when I got back to Los Angeles and started digitizing the footage, coincidentally or not so coincidentally, during the entire interview there was activity going on right outside the window.
Right.
So, yes. I mean,
it's pretty amazing, and they're going to have to see the DVD to really understand what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
All right, well, Dorothy, let me ask you this. You know, and I mean, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but, you know, that's kind of how I am. I have a list of things, and then I go, well, to heck with that. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants, and that's what we're doing. When you met Frank, Dorothy, I mean, obviously you're a person that likes your privacy, even though what you've experienced obviously exposes you to the world, if you will. But did you, I know how guarded you are. In fact, Frank said that he didn't think there was any way in the world that you would do an interview with me, and that, you know, he was really blown away when you consented. So when Frank approaches you to do this documentary, how long of a effort is it before you're convinced that this would be a good thing to do?
Well, I had a talk with my daughter and trashed it around a bit. And then she said, well, why not? Frank's a nice man. We can trust him.
Right.
We'll do the documentary.
And for me, the process was in order for her to feel that way, you know, it was, you know, a back and forth process where, you know, I let them know that I was interested in doing a serious piece on Dorothy's life. And so, you know, they at first were apprehensive about it, but I literally wrote out the, you know, what my intentions were, my, you know, basically the angle that I'd be going at with it. And, you know, they took the time to really, you know, think it over. And unfortunately, and I'm honored to have been able to tell her story. So, you know, it took a little while, and I think they got the sense of where I was coming from. It wasn't about, you know, making a quick buck. It wasn't about any of that. It was really about just doing an in-depth story to cover this woman's story, this amazing story.
Right.
You know, there's just really not this kind of material out there, and that was one thing. That was one of my objectives, is to bring some credibility to, I think, such an important topic. And I, you know, it started with, why don't I go to the most amazing story I can find, and then really delve into it. What really drew me to do the story was, what really compelled me was, how does somebody who is going through this, and in Dorothy's case, over 30 years, first thing, but two, really, how does this affect family? I mean, how does this affect the people in her lives? I mean, it's
right.
Going on for 30 years, that means it's been going on since her kids were kids, and they've grown up, and they've had their own families now. What do they think about
right.
it? And to me, that's really where the story was, and that's the angle I was going at. And so I think that, you know, that interested them, and they saw the sincerity in what I was trying to do.
That was the thing that really amazed me, Frank, and Dorothy, obviously, this is a compliment to your family, was seeing the DVD and seeing, you know, everybody sitting on the couch. By the way, Dorothy, this is a minor sidebar. If anybody will tell you in a minute that I'm famous for my sidebars. But in the DVD, when Frank is coming up to your house and you haven't seen Marilyn's footage yet with the... what we all believe is your special friends in the background. What were you serving for dinner that night?
Oh, quite a lot of things.
Well, it sure looked good. You know, I got hungry just watching everybody go through the line, you know. And then there's a part in the DVD where I guess you're looking at Frank and his crew, you know, and they're going, well, go get you a plate, you know.
I'm glad you narrowed down the most important questions here.
Well, you know, I mean, I think this, you know, I think the public needs a right to know, because Dorothy obviously is a good cook, you know.
Oh, Marilyn's a very good cook.
Well, see, I knew that. See, I just wanted to be sure that everybody knows that you're a great cook. Okay. All right, back to the serious thing. There's a member by the name of Interdimensional 87, I guess 86 and through 1 was already taken. But Interdimensional 87 says, "Hi, Dorothy. How can I, as an individual, get extraterrestrials to communicate with me? Do you have any advice?"
I think it's just to send out the message. You know, they were around everywhere, and that he would like to see them, and if he thinks okay, probably they might.
Well, don't you think you have to have, to a degree, you have to have an open mind, if you will? I mean, I can't imagine anybody being able to experience things or see things if they're a huge skeptic. And I know you had a couple of skeptics in your own family. I think Wayne and Jerry, Jerry especially, was not the biggest believer in the world of your experiences until he sees Marilyn's footage.
That's right. When they were doing that show, I was in the other room, so I totally spoke to the alien beings, like, you know, I said, look, I said, this is a chance now. I said, you go and show them something. And I told my daughter that, too, afterwards. And that's when they sort of went, started fling around outside.
I think it's really fascinating to me. Again, like, the effects on the family members, you know, that's my angle that I was going for, that this is like an interesting psychological study, too, because the fact that there are, like you mentioned, a couple of members of the family that don't or didn't believe Dorothy despite everything.
Right.
But an outsider who comes in and then something happens, how that somehow is more believable to them. I just think that's really interesting how maybe, you know, we give more credence sometimes to people outside of your own family when something happens. But that occurred, and you see it all unveil, like, during the documentary. Right. Just another interesting aspect.
Well, you know, there's a member by the name of Seen Too Much. Oh, boy, I love it. And there's a couple of things, but there's one thing I want to just read to you, Dorothy, that they put in the poster at AboveTopSecret.com. And I'm going to ask you one other question, but it says at the bottom, "Also, I got to say, I really admire your zeal for life. I could see it in your eyes in the trailer. Keep on doing what you're doing. You are absolutely great. In some of the shots, you look like a teenager. You're doing something right. That's for sure. If you would like to share that secret with us, Forever Young Formula, that would be a boom to all of us baby boomers." So, boy, what a compliment, Dorothy. I mean, you know, my mom looked like she did not look 84, and I guarantee you, you sure don't look like you're 84 years old.
Well, sometimes I look about 100 years old, I think.
Well, I look in the mirror, and I'm trying to figure out who it is sometimes, you know?
I guess it's the children that keeps me young. All my grandchildren.
Yeah, and the grandkids. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you on that. Okay, well, Seen Too Much has a question after they – I did the compliment first just because I thought it was a proper place to throw that in there. She wants to know, or he wants to know, did they ever mention in the DVD, Frank, you may jump in here, I don't remember, other than the mention of Catholic, she wants to know, or he wants to know, about your devout spirit and your belief in God. Did it make it easier for you to communicate because of your belief system?
My parents never interfere with me, what I believe in and what I don't. And to me, if you keep sending out good vibes to people, good vibes back. But because
I totally agree.
This, and with the alien beings, it's the same thing. They can get your vibes, and if they think that you're worth visiting, they'll visit. And with mine, of course, it goes back for generations. Like our family all has this thing that they can see things all the time.
Well, Spooker had another question I'm going to go ahead and ask. It says, and he bought the DVD, by the way, watched the documentary, and thinks your story is absolutely amazing. He appreciated the realism of the film. Too often networks sensualize and use flashy graphics when dealing with topics like this, making it feel silly. It was not that way at all. So it's really a compliment to you, Frank, for the way that you approach Dorothy's story.
I appreciate that comment, and again, you know, it just had to do with when approaching the story and trying to do a story, I felt that hadn't been put out there yet in a way that felt real, because the comment there was mentioning, and you do, I don't know if you've seen like some of these shows, I don't want to mention any networks, but they do reenactments, and you see like some kind of crazy looking, obviously fake looking alien in a costume, and I just, you know, when people see that, I mean, I know they were trying to convey an idea, but when people see that, they kind of, for me at least, you know, kind of get turned off from it. I just wanted something to, I just wanted this topic to be approached for once, just as it really is. And have you seen, I'll give an example, like Grizzly Man. Have you seen that documentary?
I am familiar with it, Frank, but I have not seen it. No.
It's just real. It's very real. It's a guy who lived with the bears, and he ends up getting mauled by a bear, unfortunately. But point being is that the way it's laid out, it's just real. Here's the cameras rolling. Here's this guy's life, and you know, take from it what you will. And that's the approach I wanted to go, because once you start getting into special effects and graphics and all that stuff, I think to me that kind of devalues what's really going on, because on one aspect I think people would be like, well, if they can do all those flashy graphics, perhaps, you know, her stuff is fake too.
Right.
I mean, that's just one thing. But I just wanted to have like a real documentary. There's no narration on it. It is what it is, and it's you are getting to know and learn and hear about Dorothy's story, period.
Yeah, and that's the thing I love most about it, Frank, and that's kudos to you, too, because it really is a non-narrative movie. It's basically, let's start the cameras rolling, and, you know, we go from there, and you get what you get. But now, Dorothy, I've got a question that this I'm dying to ask you. How did Dr. J. Allen Hynek affect your life when you became friends?
Well, I was very, very grateful that he would, you know, give us time in checking my stuff out, because people were all saying that, oh, maybe she made it here, or maybe she's I mean, with lights and fiddling with this and that. So right. Dr. Hynek was interested too. He said he studied all the films, and he said, oh, no, he said, this is more than that. This is very, very interesting. So he came to my place, and I had a film in front of him and did all that in front of him. But the other ones, when I met Elaine Alexander, the lady that I owe a lot to,
right.
passed over, she apparently told me to get in touch with Dr. Hynek. She said, that's the best person for you to, you know, to come and visit. And that's how we got him.
Well, you know, not only is he well noted for his work in his field, but I was also amazed about his involvement with Project Blue Book and actually washing his hands of it to a degree, because he felt like they were trying to lead people astray,
mm-hmm.
which I think that says a lot for him standing behind you as one of your biggest well-known supporters.
Yes, he was really, really grateful that he would come all the way, and he was so tired sometimes, you know, from visiting his son and before coming to see me, you know.
Right.
And he was a very good man. I like
and what a testament to Dorothy's footage to get the attention of somebody of his stature, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This woman who nobody knows about, and obviously he had caught, you know, had a chance to view some of her footage before visiting with her, and was, you know, thought there was something there that needed to be investigated, so...
Right.
Props to Dorothy.
Yeah, and I wanted to be sure that we included the fact in this interview. And obviously it's part of the DVD, but I thought it was very important that, you know, this isn't a matter of Dorothy just being this person and a few people that may have the same beliefs jump on board. I mean, we're talking about scientists, we're talking about professors, we're talking about people that are professional in the film industry. And I mean, time after time after time, everybody says what an amazing experience it is to not only know Dorothy, but to see her 30,000 feet of film and what that film portrays. And while we're at that point, Frank, let's talk about Mark Ostroff and the ILM people.
Mm-hmm. I almost wanted to go back a little bit about your last comment, just as another...
Well, please feel free to... backwards.
I'm sorry. Just as another testament or another... person looking at her stuff and being amazed, and that would be me, because you know, I'm a filmmaker, I'm a member of the Directors Guild of America. I write comedies and direct comedies. You know, when I heard the story, I was so compelled by it that you know, I wanted to investigate it further. And, you know, like I was telling you earlier, how I just want to do a human interest story, really, and find out, you know, how this type of situation affects the family that's going through this.
Right.
You know, I wasn't a believer, per se. I mean, I'm not a part of the UFO community in the way that probably a lot of people think I am. I'm very interested. I've always have been, you know, as a kid, for whatever reason, I was always kind of drawn to that section in the library, but... it was nothing that I pursued. It wasn't anything I made, you know, my life, you know, focus on. But
right.
It's certainly an interest there. So going through this process, it wasn't until I really got my hands on the physical footage, because, you know, I had seen some of her work, and I was like, wow, it's very interesting, but I need to, as a filmmaker, look at the actual footage because of my... you know, my background, I'll be able to...
Right, really, you don't want to put your reputation on the line on something that
sure.
could conceivably be not true.
Absolutely, and if so, hey, that was the way the documentary was going to go. You know,
right.
You have to be honest in your approach when doing a story like that. So, you know, looking at the film, and just to give your audience an idea, probably what, like, we're talking about with Dorothy's footage, to really kind of get a better sense of what's going on with her footage, is that she shoots with an 8mm camera, and 8mm camera has the film is 18 frames per second. So when she's right. filming these crafts in the sky, while she's filming, you'll see a burst of light that happens. Now, it's not right. until you get that film back and you stop it on the frame where the burst happens, that reminds right. you, 18 frames per second, that burst of light is only on one frame. There's no light that spills onto the previous frame, and there's no light that spills onto the frame after the burst, which right. is impossible. It's absolutely impossible for any of you out there who know about film. When you stop a camera, there's called, you know, like it'll tail out or roll out. You'll get light streaks across, you know.
Right, yeah, I'm familiar with those. 300 right.
frames,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Here, not one, you know, it's just a big, strong burst of light in one frame. And it's not until you stop it in that frame, then there's a new image within that frame. And that's, to me, it was just, it took this thing to a whole other level. Within those frames, there's just so many different images. Sometimes it's you know, a streak of light or a cacophony right. of light streaking across from one side of the frame to the other. That's like covering distances that would be physically impossible, 1/18th of a second. Sometimes you catch things that look like a peek into another, it looks like a location, like you'll see a body, a landmass. Sometimes you'll see images that look like Dorothy had mentioned earlier, like there's families. There's one in particular that's in the documentary. It looks like a family.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's mind-boggling and, of course, impossible. So then there's only two options with that, and that is, one, that Dorothy is a charlatan and she's doing this and has been for 30 years and creating this somehow without anybody ever discovering it, and her, including her family, who didn't believe her, or she's telling the truth, in which case we should probably listen to what she has to say.
Tell me on this interview what ILM said when they
right.
actually inspected the film, because what they say is amazing to me,
right.
and the thing that really sold this whole thing for me.
Right. Well, that experience that I was mentioned earlier that you had brought up about Marilyn and the footage that I captured while doing her interview, I know that I didn't do anything, but you know, for somebody who could be listening to this interview and hear somebody of stature, you know, far greater than I, the Industrial Light and Magic is the premier special effect, Hollywood special effects.
Exactly.
They analyzed the footage and unequivocally proved that it was not a doctored image at all. That whatever
right.
was there was actually filmed. Now they didn't say, "Okay, this is, you know, definitely UFO," because they don't know the scenario.
Yeah, exactly,
shot, but,
exactly.
But just, I mean, amazing thing that, again, coincidence or not. I'm doing a documentary about a woman who's claiming to be having these experiences, and I go up there and interview a family member who talks about the one time they had this experience, and then this happens. Again, I don't know. You take it as you want it, but it's just another really strong case for the believability of what's happening with Dorothy.
All right, Dorothy, while we're at this point, I want to ask you another question that Palaszczuk, the member of Palaszczuk, they had a bunch of questions for you. Have they ever communicated with you about any particular bases that they may have on our planet, or have they indicated to you any way, shape, form, or fashion that they're concerned about our environmental issues?
Yes, they come from different planets, and sometimes it takes them a long, long time. Lots of them travel with their families and friends, and some of very, very, the ships are so huge. It blows your mind when you look at it. But the whole thing is that sometimes this is what we're, you know, when they're up there, they're sort of the main thing is that the places that they have to come to, and there's a place where they can't go past without checking in, sort of thing. It's the Orion. I'll give you the places where they contact me from. Orion,
mm-hmm.
Taurus, and Mars.
Now, when they contact you, Dorothy, I mean, do you hear like a high-pitched sound or anything that lets you know that they're wanting to communicate with you?
Yes, they do. I usually hear that sometimes, and sometimes no. Like, It depends on how close they are, how far they are, how far away they are. But somehow or another, it seems to just comes right into my mind that they're around.
Right.
Yeah. I guess through some sort of that sort of thing, you know, when you get into your mind with them.
I know exactly what you're saying. Have you ever had an encounter that you can think of that was not at night? Are all the contacts at night?
Oh, no. Any time of the day. Morning, noon, night, any time. They usually come into my bedroom sometimes or wherever I was visiting or anything like that. And if they're around, you just let me know they're around.
Because right.
They just use this light thing, yeah.
Well, there's a portion in the DVD that I told Frank earlier I don't read. So the only reason why we're doing this interview is because I watch movies and DVDs. But there's a portion there where it talks about your contact with the aliens. Could you possibly describe what you saw when they came into your bedroom that night and you were meditating?
That's the time when they were introducing the different beings that are around and contacting mm-hmm. me. And I guess they wanted to prepare me or so that when some of these other aliens come around, or what we want to call them, I'll be prepared for them and not worry and be afraid, because they come with the higher beings and so I know they'll be safe. But in everything, I think we have to use our own, to find out, to know if anything is genuine or not. If they teach you bad things or do bad things, you know it's not good. And if it's good and it lifts you up high, then it's good. So I always tell my friends or family or something, I said, whenever things come, I mean, there are negative ones and there are good ones. And these are lost souls that roams around, and this is what they do. The whole thing is that you just have to see what it is they want you to do. But if it's doing something good, then it's good. Yeah.
Well, you know, while we're, I'm going to do another sidebar here. I know Frank's going on, another sidebar from Dave. Where is he going to go this time?
I like sidebars.
You love the sidebars, don't you?
I'm a
visual person, Dorothy. I mean, I really am. I mean, I never have, even when I was a kid, been able to open a book and read things and visualize it. I have to see it with my own eyes. And one of the movies that has just always blown me away because of is how I personally believe, what I believe that, you know, that we do have extraterrestrials in our lives and always have had for many, many hundreds of thousands of years, was the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And that movie to me epitomized wanting to believe, having that hope. Richard Dreyfuss, I think, does a masterful job of, you know, he wants to find answers. He wants to see what's on the other side of the mountain. He wants to know that there's something more than just what we look around on planet Earth. I mean, you strike me as that same mentality, that you're always open to anything that comes into your life, Dorothy.
Yes, I was taught that when I was very, very young, because my father and my mother, all of them, we all used to different things, ghosts and real beings and bad beings and good beings. And then you learn to know how, you know, which one is the good one.
Dorothy, why do you think that the extraterrestrials are coming to Earth? Do you think there's a purpose behind it?
Oh, they've always been here since time began.
But do you think they have a mission that they're trying to do, or like smarten us up?
Yeah, quite often they come to check the. I have movies of them. They'll check the Earth and, you know, the ground, and they go to different places and see, you know, how we're treating this Earth of ours, and they do some work here that we don't know about.
Oh, one thing that I learned while doing the documentary that really goes in line with what you were asking, Dorothy, is that, you know, they are here, in essence, what she's saying about them, you know, seeing how we're doing with the earth, and that was important because that we actually all are connected. So if we do something bad here, you know, that it affects them elsewhere. So I thought the idea of all of us being connected was a really interesting thing that I learned while doing the documentary from Dorothy.
All right, Dorothy, there's another member by the name of the Borg. Everybody picks these weird names. Anyway, the Borg is a long-time member for AboveTopSecret.com, and he's got several questions. Some of them are kind of interesting, and they're just very short questions, and I just want to ask on behalf of the Borg. One thing is, do you know if they eat or what they eat?
Yes, they do eat, but they eat their own food. I mean, whatever they have with them, but mostly it's like the people that go out and out of space now with our people, it's usually those like pills and the little things, small things or whatever, and they pop it in their mouth. I've seen them do that.
Okay. Do you believe that the intelligence that you're encountering, do you believe it's from the past or from the future or from a different world?
The way they taught me was that our world goes around the others, you know, like how we're always turning. But each time like that, when it's turning, if they want to come here, there's a window opening between ours and theirs. And sometimes I don't know how to explain it. And they have to come in line with our window, and then they can come through. And then when they go back, they have to wait for the window again to line up, and then they go through again. Sometimes they get lost here, because they dilly-dallied or something or did something and they miss it.
Right.
Then you have to wait a long, long, long time before it lines up again for them to get back home.
Transdimensional beings. Do you think intelligence that you're in contact with could possibly be from another dimension?
Well, they can, sure. I mean, it's possible, sure. Because, you know, there's so many different ones that come, you know, to visit. They always come to visit me. I don't know why. And that's why sometimes I film them. And, you know, they come into my room, and sometimes they take over in there. And I have pictures to prove it, because I sit down and film them while they're doing all those things. And then they bring their friends in, another one. They go, one lot will go up, and then another lot come down. I keep doing that. They have to sit down and watch, because they want to learn about us, too. You know,
of course.
Yeah.
He's got a last question that I'm going to jump over and ask a couple of questions of Frank. This will conclude the member questions. And this is, again, by the Borg. But it's an interesting question. He says, Dorothy, have they told you anything about their past or what they see happening in the near future to our planet?
They've never mentioned what's happened to their planet, but they're always worried about our planet here. And they're always examining our solar ones, just examining rocks and different things. And, you know, and they have people that are coming with them, and they're like, you know, like the plants and different things they'll examine, and they put it in the little boxes or whatever they carry around, and then away they go. Yeah. So they're really watching out for us too here, because they know we are really doing a lot of damage to our Earth.
Do you believe, Dorothy, regardless of the proof that you can produce or how many people believe, that you're ever going to be able to, or me for that matter, or Frank for that matter, any of us that believe that there's an extraterrestrial presence in our lives, do you think there'll ever be a time that will come that we'll ever be able to convince the skeptic?
I don't usually worry about skeptics, because after a while, sometimes they'll learn it learn themselves. But I have one in my own family that won't believe anything, and that was my husband. As long as it's a ball game or a hockey game, he's in it. But when I start doing these things, he just blinks an eye at me, and away he goes, or I go.
Yeah, and that was very evident from Frank's filming, you know. We're not going to mention any names, but does his first name start with G?
No.
Isn't Jerry the hockey lover?
Jerry is my son-in-law.
Oh, is it Wayne? Is it Wayne?
Wayne's my son.
Your son Wayne, right, isn't it?
My husband
passed away quite a while back, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Frank, tell me, you know, before we wrap things up, and I can't thank you both enough for the amount of gracious time you've given us and answered the member questions and stuff. What do you take away from your experience with Dorothy? Obviously, you've become good friends. You obviously stay in contact, at least enough to where she responded to your email about me. but I mean, what do you take away from this? I mean, here you are, someone that's in the movie industry, the movie business, and you see things all the time, you know, and boy, thank God we're not involved with the Writers Guild of America right now, or we wouldn't be able to even talk. We wouldn't have anything to say because we wouldn't have somebody writing a script for us. But, I mean, what do you take away from your experience with Dorothy?
Well, first, thanks for having us on, Dave. I really appreciate it. What do I take away? Wow. I mean, it has been... the best way I could explain it is a journey. Like I was saying earlier, I came into the mindset of doing one type of documentary, and that was more of like a case study of like the effects that something like this has on family members, and really was steered to another direction as things happened. Very organic process, using Marilyn's interview as an example. Obviously, I had no idea that I'd be capturing something while filming, and then, you know, that then led to me going back to show the family and the results of that. So very organic, and it just kind of led me to where it needed to go. I had no experience in doing documentaries, coming from the narrative background. So it just kind of laid itself out to where it needed to go. So my experience, as I mentioned earlier, my initial interest is just always kind of like a passing interest. As a kid, just I was for some reason drawn to those kind of those stories and captured my imagination certainly. But it wasn't something that it was a lifelong quest to figure out. So I saw this footage, physically saw this footage when I got my hands on it. And as my background as a filmmaker, I understand how light works with film. To me, that was the pivotal, thing that just made me have to step back and reevaluate my own personal thoughts on what do I think about, life visiting us here. And I've always been a believer that there's life out there without a doubt. I mean, I believe in God, and I believe God created this vast universe, and I just find it really hard to believe that he planted only one seed. And right. So I've always believed that there's certainly life out there. But whether or not they were here is a different story. And it really has made me step back and after looking at all of Dorothy's footage and seeing it's very complex and it's very multi-layered. It's not just, I'll just say, for anybody out there that's expecting to see a Haiti UFO, that clip that was going around on YouTube, you're not going to see that, but let's keep in mind that was fake.
Right, it was a hoax. Yeah,
this stuff is maybe it's just something that we don't totally understand all of it, the complexities of it right now. Whether there's those lights that are captioning or frame and create a new image, whether that means something, that's information. I don't know. Maybe somewhere down the road we will understand that. And by the way, one of the goals of the documentary is, obviously to tell and share this amazing story of this woman and bring awareness to it, but to also, at the very end of it, there's an address to donate to for Dorothy's films to be transferred to digital in order to preserve them, because right now, they're for the majority of the footage, of all of which I haven't had a chance to even go through because it's so massive, it's on 8mm film, and over time that stuff deteriorates, and my goal is to get that all, and Dorothy's goal is to get that all transferred to digital to preserve it for future generations to explore. But the long way around to answer your question is I had to, as a filmmaker, had to, it's really made me sit back and I have to reevaluate my thoughts on whether or not they are actually here, just purely by the physics of it all and the film should not be possible, these flash frames. To me, that was like the real key thing that just shook me. And it still does.
All right, Dorothy, my final question to you, sweetheart, is that, you know, obviously in 30 years you've come across all kinds of people, people that believe, people that are skeptics, people that don't believe, I mean, even in your own family. When you meet someone like Frank and he has a passion to just simply tell a story, how does it make you feel when someone really stands behind you and believes in what you have been saying for 30 years?
Well, I always feel they've graduated, because those that don't bother to do it, they don't bother to study and about these things and say, but something like that is possible, you know, because we're now going into another time when there's so many things that's going on up there in the sky and all the inventions and all the new things that's coming. You know, we're trying to go to another planet, so why can't these people be way ahead of us? And they can come back and forth.
Yeah, and like Frank has said, you know, it makes no sense. You know, I am not egotistical enough to believe that we're the only person in the entire universe. You know, I'm not buying it, you know. I just can't buy that philosophy, and I don't understand people that do.
Exactly.
I want you both to hang on, because I wanted to say a personal goodbye to you off air. But on air, I want to again direct everybody's attention to the marvelous site that you can find out and even buy the DVD, Capturing the Light, which is the story of Dorothy and her quest, if you will, to document what she has experienced over the last 20 to 30 years or so personally. And, you know, I have to say this on behalf of Dave Rabbit. I am not speaking on behalf of the website or the partnership or Above Network, but on behalf of Dave Rabbit, I have always had a belief that there is more than just what we have on our planet and what we see. I have experienced the mystery of seeing UFOs back in the 50s when I was a child. So I've always been a believer, but I've also been a skeptic. And I've been a skeptic from the standpoint of, unless I see it with my own eyes, you know, I take things that people say and I kind of balance them in my life, but I don't necessarily endorse them. Not until I met Frank Lungo and Dorothy Izat. I have to say unequivocally that this DVD, this story of Dorothy and Frank's quest to bring Dorothy's story to the world, has captured me so much that I made it my personal quest to bring it to the membership of AboveTopSecret.com, as well as our international 23 million fan base worldwide through all of our feeds, because I think it's an important film to see. I think when you stop and realize that it has been viewed by experts, it has been documented by experts, that you have scientists, you have professors, you have people that are in the cinematography industry, that are in planetariums, that have all kinds of connections with the scientific community, and for all of these people to step forward and say, this is legit. We can't say what it is, but we can tell you it was not manipulated by any other person. I think if you don't go to www.capturingthelightdvd.com and see what this is about, look at the trailer. Don't take my word for it. But I can tell you I have seen this thing 12 times, and it constantly blows me away. And it blows me away for one reason. Dorothy Izat. Dorothy, I can't thank you enough for your time and allowing me to be a part of your life for just 60 minutes.
And thank you for having me.
And please stay on the line, because I want to say something personally to you off air. And Frank, thank you so much for getting me involved in this project and getting me to be a believer, which obviously I am. And I can't thank you enough for your time also, Frank.
David, I can't thank you. And thank you for that last comment. I really appreciate that. And I also wanted to say I hadn't been familiar with your amazing site. I was blown away, I got to tell you, by your membership. The people on there are quite articulate and intelligent, and I was quite shocked it was all under one roof. I've never seen anything like it, and I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, how you are attracting that kind of an audience is amazing to me. Without you know, it's such a controversial topic, and there's so many different topics that you cover, and how they handle themselves and actually get into deep, serious debates without, you know, going to the lowest common denominator. It's amazing. It's an amazing site, and now, I mean, I'm on it now.
Well, you know, on behalf of the people that created it, which is Simon Gray, Bill Irvin, and Mark Allen, who are my partners in the ATS Mix Show, and we're the creators of the site, and it's been going on 10 years. There was one thing I wanted to say on air that we didn't really address, and you had mentioned the Haiti video that was proclaimed a hoax. Here's the thing about AboveTopSecret.com, and this you should both be very proud. The membership of AboveTopSecret.com are a top 20% intelligence level community. I mean, there are millions of posts annually. It has, you know, 80,000 people at one time are logged on. You know, I mean, it's a community of people that want to believe, but at the same time are not going to allow some shyster or some huckster to come in and sell them a bill of goods.
Yeah.
Now, I have had Dorothy's interview thing up for questions, and Frank, you know, because you've been there at least 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks, and not one time has there been anybody come in there with a negative statement, with a negative comment. Yeah. And I guarantee you there are enough people, professionals, that are in all kinds of different areas, including yours, Frank, that have seen the little clips or have ordered the DVD or whatever. And I guarantee you, if anybody thought this was a hoax, they would have posted it immediately, and they have not.
Yeah.
So the fact that it passes the muster of AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC says a lot to both you and Dorothy.
I personally felt that as well. I mean, just perusing through there's so many different topics that are on there, and I was literally blown away by how articulate and how intelligent the thoughts were. And it just, I was like, where did this site come from? I mean,
it's an amazing site. Yeah, and I don't say it because I'm a vital part of it now, but, you know, it blew me away 18 months ago when I first found it. I thought, you know, my Lord, and I'm not a big reader, but, you know, I mean, you know, still. There's some interesting things.
You got to stop telling people that, Dave.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, I really get in trouble when we interview authors because they sit there and say, well, I'll send you the book. And I'm thinking, sure, I'd love to have the book. But, you know, now I've just gotten to the point just saying, if it's on DVD, send it to me. If it's not, send it to my partner, Johnny. Well, anyway, I want you guys to hang on. So, and I'm going to do a minor close, and then we're going to chat just for a second, and then I'm going to let Dorothy go.
Thank you so much.
So, on behalf of AboveTopSecret.com website, the Above Network LLC, and on especially behalf of the beautiful Dorothy Izat and the clever and sequential, whatever the word is, Frank Longo from the L.A. area, if that's another planet. You're not getting washed away in the L.A. thing, are you?
No.
While the rain, yeah. Well, Johnny's in the L.A. thing, too, and, you know, he's doing most of the shows out of a boat. But anyway, on behalf of all of us, thank you for tuning in for this special edition of the ATS Mix, and especially my, again, tremendous thanks and love goes out to Dorothy Izat.
Thank you, Dave.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.